Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, thank you for the 200 and whatever people that tweeted at Sheryl Crow today.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Think she'll call in?
No. But you never know. We'll see. And thank you, Shay Pepler Cornett, for joining the show. And thank you, Marty Brenneman, for joining the show. Thank you, Danny Zetterman, Chris Black. You may not be able to cheer on your Wolves live right now at Allstate Arena, but you can take advantage of the year-end merchandise sale at ChicagoWolvesStore.com with the offer code YEAREND. Good for 30% off select items. Wear what the Chicago Wolves wear with a 30% discount through this Sunday, April 5th, and use the offer code YEAREND. We are the Wolves.
Pretty good deal.
So, Smokey Bandit said, Chris Black, please tell out the Catman there's this new movie out called Titanic. Nice. About a large ocean liner that meets a terrible fate.
Don't tell me what happens. Don't ruin the ending. Don't ruin it.
You're a kawaii kid.
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
I'm good. So we have a I have a question for the two of you. So we play last Wednesday, Saturday, again tonight. We play on Zoom a family trivia night. My daughter-in-law and son are in Pittsburgh. My father-in-law and his fiance are in Dixon. We got them all over the place.
Yes.
So this question was one of the questions on the trivia contest. What was the bus number in the movie Speed?
Oh, boy. I know it
Not a big fan of it, but I'll say 597.
It couldn't go over 55 miles an hour.
I can tell you right now. I'm trying to think of it right now. I believe it's four numbers.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not going to be able to
Chris
get it.
Chris is correct. It's four numbers.
5970.
Jericho, right? 5970.
He's incorrect.
Boy, I can't. I don't know. I'm just, I don't know. I don't
so
know what it would
I
be.
So I answered the question for my team, my wife and I. And I said 52-52. It was wrong. It was 25-25.
Close. Not bad. 25-25. The Wildcat driving the bus.
The Wildcat.
Yeah, it's very good.
Tell that Wildcat.
There you go. So there's another Keanu. See, when he just has to, you know, look handsome and kick some ass.
He was good
right
in that movie.
I don't know if he's ever good, but he's his best. John Wick, he was made for. I mean, the guy was... He was born to play John Wick. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I would like to get Sandra Bullock to call in. I heard she's an awesomely nice person.
She's wonderful.
That'd be big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorites.
Yep. She'd be cool.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Listen, I'll take D.B. Sweeney. No disrespect to D.B.
We took the lead today. I hung out with D.B. He's a great guy.
He lives in Hinsdale. He's my neighbor, for crying out loud. He lives like a town over. And somebody on Twitter said, D.B., call Carmen Yerk. I mean, what is he doing?
What do you mean, guys? What do you mean you took the lead? What happened today?
It's still his area.
No, we had a way bigger name.
Stop it.
Who?
The girl who hosts the safety videos on all the American Airlines flights.
Nice try.
Yeah,
Hank Azaria was great yesterday.
She's fantastic now.
She is fantastic.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Great.
Yeah. Good for her. Congratulations.
She lives in the suburbs.
Right?
Yeah.
Good for her. Listen, that's fantastic. That way you could put a face to a name now.
That's
Or you could put a voice to the face to the this. Either way, we kind of know her personally.
Put her picture
now,
on Twitter.
Wonderful.
We could put a face to the voice.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, not that anyone's keeping score except me and all the listeners, but Caps had two celebrities.
We've had Wyatt none.
And Sylvie's had like 12.
None.
Who's calling the Carmen Yurko show?
Have they had 12 or have they not had 12?
No, they've had one, two, three, four. Why don't Sylvia have had five? Cap show has had two.
We've had none.
Wonderful.
You guys have come up empty. Now, maybe McConaughey will come on today. Matthew McConaughey,
Our dilemma is we've got the stars on all the time.
We keep getting notes from people, too. Like, I've told this person's going to be calling. No, nobody's called. Tell them to call.
Yeah, we need them to call. Not that they're going to call. We need calls.
I've heard from people that Tony Romo is calling, that Bob Odenkirk is calling. I went to high school with Bob's sister.
Love Odenkirk.
We heard that the guy who hosts, I don't think this would be, the stars he gets are big time. I don't know if people are going to recognize him, but Sean Evans is his name, right? The guy that hosts the Hot Topics podcast. or video podcast where
hot ones.
Thank you, Chris. Where the famous people sit down and he asks them questions while they try various different hot sauces.
I was going to say, does Hot Topic have a podcast?
Yeah, Hot Topic. Remember when we were kids at the mall? We go to Hot Topic. Remember? Yeah. Hot ones. Like, that guy gets the biggest stars in the game to go on. But I mean, I think, you know, his videos get like 10 million views, so that'd be big time. But we heard Sean Evans is going to be calling in any minute. Phone never rang. So let's go, people.
Okay, how about Chelsea Ross? Would that be a good one?
Help.
Chelsea Ross played Dan Devine and Rudy. He played the father, the angry coach who wanted Hackman out in Hoosiers.
He's like a great character.
He played Eddie Harris in Major League.
Yeah, that's probably his most famous one, right?
You know where he lives?
Here. He's from Chicago.
LaGrange.
Right? Yeah. I got D.B. Sweeney on one side. And what's his name? Chelsea Ross.
Dagger.
Chelsea Ross on the other side. Yeah, I mean, come on. Somebody call in for crying out loud.
There you go. They're right. Your neighbors.
I mean,
Carmen, we don't beg. They call.
No, I'm begging right now. Somebody get somebody to call.
What's the movie they said? You don't beg. Oh, that was the things to do in Denver when you're dead.
That's a great
Andy
movie.
Garcia's character. You don't beg because if you beg, you're dead.
Yeah, I like
you
that.
You don't beg, Carmen.
Yeah. Chelsea Ross was Nelson Fox in Above the Law with Steven Seagal.
Wow, there you go.
I mean, I'm looking at some of the he was in. Last Boy Scout, he was Senator Calvin Brainard.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he's had some great ones.
I bet you he's been in 70 movies, at least. Right? Yeah, he's one of those character actors that work forever that's in tons of things.
He was his last movie was in the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I didn't see that. I
haven't seen
Trouble with the Curve.
I didn't like Trouble with the Curve. I'm a big Clint Eastwood fan. Yurko liked it, but I didn't like that one.
Well, I'm a fan of Amy Adams. I mean,
I'm a huge Amy Adams
tell.
Fan. Oh, no, stop it.
As a relationship to troubles between father and daughter, I mean, that's a great movie.
I like Amy Adams a lot. I just didn't care for the movie. He played one of the scouts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they were trying to screw her over at the law firm. They weren't going to give her the partnership.
Oh, yeah.
She said, go bite.
That's right.
The hell with all you. I'll go do something else. Yeah.
I'll go scout baseball.
She's going to spend time with the old man because they were concerned about Clint Eastwood.
Right.
Because he had some health issues going on. He couldn't hear. His vision was starting to go. No, he couldn't see anymore. Vision was starting to go.
So he heard it. Remember, he heard the breaking ball.
Then she found out.
I don't know how you hear a breaking ball.
Guys, if you're not going to sit and see the movie anyway, it doesn't make a difference if I ruin it. But the reason he wouldn't let her be with her on the road, because there was an incident in an accident where she ended up getting lured into one of those equipment sheds. And nothing ended up happening to her, but there was some bad intentions going on there by the individual. And Clint kicked the living H out of him and said, I can't protect her on the road. She's got to stay home.
Yep.
So that's why the relationship was strained over the course of time. Then she comes to find out that's why he did it. And then, boom, good things are good things. She ends up finding a nice little Latin pitcher, you know, when she's out and about on the road. So it's a good time. And there's a love story. Justin Timberlake's in it.
Yurko just gave you an incredible synopsis of Trouble with the Curve.
I mean, it's more than just the baseball movie, Harm.
I know.
It's real life, man.
I just didn't care for it.
I'm glad you got along great with your parents, man. But what about those people who didn't?
That's true.
That's what I'm talking about.
Guys, line three, you have your first biggest name. I couldn't verify if it's him. He doesn't have Twitter. But go to Abe on line three.
Abe Vigoda? Who's Abe?
Put him on.
Just Abe.
Hey, Abe.
Hey, Yerk.
Yo.
Hey, it's Honest Abe Lincoln.
Oh, sweet. from the grave.
From the heavens?
Welcome aboard.
Number six. I think I was number 16.
I think you're right. Were you?
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good. Honest Abe, we're doing great. This is a real pleasure.
That's right.
Abe. Yeah. So put me down. I felt bad. You know, I'm up top listening to you guys.
Great.
So, felt bad that you didn't get somebody to call. I thought maybe, you know, I take a little time out and give you guys a buzz.
Abe, who do you hang out with up there?
Yeah.
Well, you know, apart from JC and I are pretty tight.
I can imagine.
Oh, of course, the big
you
guy.
You both have good beards, too.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, they I'm not much of a name dropper. Other than that, JC says, hey.
You ever see that SOB Jefferson Davis up there or what?
No.
He went somewhere else.
Abe, how was it? How was it at the Pearly Gates? Is it an automatic entry for you, or do you got to like pass a test with St. Pete up there?
Actually, they just upgraded. They've got the thumbprint entry now.
Oh, how about that?
Wow, a thumbprint, a retinal scan.
So when John Wilkes,
that's coming. The retinal scan's coming, but you know they're. They went with the thumbprint.
So yeah, they're going to do a deal with Clear up there, I heard. So when John Wilkes Booth showed up, what'd you say?
He didn't make the cut.
No, that's right. He's downstairs, boys.
He's in a different place, too.
He's in the basement.
It's a little hot. Rally together up there and get rid of this coronavirus for us, okay?
Will do, guys.
Thanks, Honest Dave. Right. Wow. We surged in front. As Abraham Lincoln just checked
in. Kind of a big deal. Are connected.
It's not about who you know.
You know people.
Who would you say is the most famous person in your phone?
You know people who are known. Can you get them to call us?
I enjoy American football. I've actually dated a player once, but he wasn't my type, so I set him up with my friend Giselle.
ESPN 1000's biggest name drop. The bigger the name.
I'd say we're dropping names three at a time.
The bigger the prize. Which celebrity can you get to call us?
The best part about that was he didn't call in and go, "It's me, Honest Abe Lincoln." He's like, "Hey, guys, what's me? Yo, it's Abe Lincoln." All right, hey.
So great. When you said something, he said, "Oh, no, we got the thumbprint now here."
Thumbprint. That's great.
I asked him about St. Pete. Is there a test when you get up there?
Just
a
thumbprint.
St. Pete sits at the Pearly Gates, and if you're no good, you know, they go, let's go to the videotape.
Right.
And they either show some highlights of your life or they show some lowlights of your life. And then they either let you in or they kick you downstairs.
Or they put you in purgatory. One of the three.
Yeah, or limbo. One of the three, man. It's no fun.
Before I get out of here, did you see that Mike Sando went out and interviewed a bunch of executives in the NFL anonymously, and they gave their opinions on the signings of each team in free agency?
Yeah.
Here's what they wrote about Jimmy Graham. He said, if the Nick Foles acquisition was the most important one for Chicago, the Jimmy Graham signing drew the most heat. People are making a big deal about Jimmy Graham because they're not happy with how much money he received. But he had a great game against Seattle in the playoffs, was all over the field, an evaluator in the league said. If you get from Jimmy Graham what the Packers got from him in the playoffs last year, you're getting what you wanted. Are we upset with the production that he last left us with? Upset? No. Skeptical that he'll provide such value over a full season? Sure. But with Greg Olsen missing 18 games over the past three seasons with various injuries and getting $7 million per year from Seattle at age 35, the Bears are not alone. And as another evaluator noted, Burton's been most effective as a number two tight end, so Graham's arrival could be welcome.
I hope all you can do on that one is keep your fingers crossed and hope. There's nothing in the film, there's nothing in the raw data that would tell you that Jimmy Graham can produce anything close to what he once was, and for $9 million guaranteed, it just seems crazy. When Eric Ebron, who is getting $6 million, and I know he didn't have a great year last year, but with Andrew Luck 2 years ago, he had 13 touchdowns, and he was a huge part of their offense. So, I don't know. The whole thing is surprising to me.
Here's a homework assignment for you. The Bears tight ends, the three salaries of the guys that are going to be there, because Burton's going to be there. Where are they in the league? They're probably like number three, or they're top five.
Well,
in the
two guys are making $20 million.
No,
$19 million, right?
8 and 8, so they're tied for sixth. Okay. At $8 million.
There you go, top 10. And if you add the third, you know, could be they could inch to fifth.
Well, if it's Adam Shaheen, he's probably as a second round pick make a decent scratch.
I bet you Shaheen is actually. Yeah.
So
there you go, top five at the tight end position, and you know what they are. They're the worst tight ends in the league. At least they were last year. We'll see what Jimmy Graham does. If he's a viable red zone target and he can get you double-digit touchdowns, every penny. He's worth every penny.
Shaheen's going to make 1.2, but his cap hit will be 1.8.
Okay. And don't expect anything in the blocking category from Jimmy Graham.
Mm-mm.
No,
he's allergic to it. Never. He's allergic to blocking.
Yeah.
He will go ahead and he'll set up in the pro set, and he'll go, "Ole," says the native of Mexico.
And as I let you go, check out Daniel Jeremiah, was a scout for the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Daniel Jeremiah.
So he posted the notes that were given to them back in 1991, Danny. Was that the year?
February 91.
And it was Bill Belichick's breakdown of what you should look for at every position.
Mm.
and what you should look for from your offense. Scoring points was number four. It was ability to run number one, pick up the blitz two, convert third downs three, score four. And then he broke down, not looking for the strongest arm at quarterback, looking for the most accurate, don't need the smartest guy. I need the guy who has the best judgment.
Yeah, but it that was 91. I mean, the league was so different.
Yeah,
I
but Jeremiah said a lot of the aspects on that sheet Belichick still uses today.
Yeah. Still believes
accuracy, I could believe that. Pick up the blitz. Everybody would agree with that.
Really interesting.
Yeah. I heard this a little bit earlier today talking about working the inside so you can work the outside.
Correct.
And you can also work the outside to work the inside. It's kind of transverse. So, it works both ways.
Yeah, he broke down every position. It's really, you'd enjoy reading it.
We've had Daniel Jeremiah in studio before. I wish he'd call in right now.
There you go.
Nobody's going to beat Honest Abe, though.
Honest Abe is taking the lead.
Good work.
Danny says today, I don't care if we lose to Waddle. We can't lose to Sylvie.
See, Belichick's the guy that says you got to be able to run the ball. And in the same breath, he's the guy that threw the ball 25 straight times to start a game.
Yeah.
So you got to be flexible enough to do whatever you can do against the specific team that you're going against.
He's also the guy that built the dynasty without any true dominant running backs. I mean, Corey Dillon for a little while, but
Curtis Martin was
a little bit towards the end, maybe.
New York with him. I think he was with the Jets.
Right, but I mean, like, he built the dynasty on the quick passing game and great defenses. And I mean, he never valued the running back position.
He also,
all that
the receivers, he just wanted guys that can catch. They didn't need to be the fastest of them all. They just needed to be able to catch.
I'm looking to see if I can find.
Get off the jam, I think you said earlier. Get off the jam. That's what David Terrell's problem was.
Yeah, couldn't get off the jam.
Couldn't get off the jam. Was insulted when I asked him the question. Yes.
They're kicking me out, but I have it here. And tomorrow we can talk about it at length. At length.
All right.
Okay?
Peace out.
All right, stay healthy, stay safe. Love you, boys. And everybody, thank you for calling. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. See you.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Different April than most, it's going to be. I get it, but we're going to help you get through it. April 1, happy April Fool's Day to everybody. It's Carmen and Yurko here with you for the next couple hours. We've got not one, but two Twitter polls today, Yurko. Two polls. Wow. What do you think of that?
I think that's fantastic, Carmen.
Yes. We'll spend some time talking about both. Jeff Blum will join us at 1:30. His great moment of the 2005 White Sox run got upset as the 2 seed to the 3 seed yesterday. A.J. Pierzynski getting to first on the drop third strike, quote unquote, in game two of the LCS did advance into the final. That vote is up right now on my Twitter timeline at Carmen DeFalco. It's the 1 seed, Paul Konerko's slam in game two of the World Series versus the 3 seed, A.J. getting to first in game two of the ALCS, and PK winning it right now with about 75% of the vote. Konerko joined us yesterday. If you missed it, check out the podcast because Paulie's phone wasn't great, but he's great. He was always a very good interview, and that was the case yesterday. I do wish the phone connection was a little bit better because I still had a couple more questions for Paulie, but we were running out of time and the phone was kind of crapping out towards the end. But listening to Konerko talk about the memories of, you know, the ball hitting his bat and what it was like taking the field when the place was still going bananas after he hit that slam 15 years ago, and just realizing that he should take a moment and sort of soak it all in, that he had the wherewithal to kind of do that. And he still remembers sort of seeing and feeling what the crowd was like. It was pretty cool to hear Paulie talk about that. So if you missed it, check out the podcast. Download our great app, the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you do that. And then Jeff Blum will join us. And listen, we're going to have to ask Jeff Blum a little bit about the Astros cheating scandal, too. We had Jeff Blum on a bunch last year and I think the year before because he's one of the Astros analysts, Yurk, on radio. And so, you know, we could talk to him about what might happen with baseball this year, about the Astros, if he feels like the Astros are off the hook a little. I mean, it certainly feels that way. Whenever they do get back to baseball because of all this, it does kind of feel like the Astros, maybe not off the hook, but it does feel like people, maybe it's just for now, have totally forgotten about that. Like, they have to love the fact that they're not getting any attention anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And, you know, are people going to be evil when you come back?
I know.
You know, because you got to have a little bit of dirty in you if you're going to go ahead and make fun of them. It may be still be deserved at the time. The Houston Astros might still deserve to be mocked and to have garbage cans banged all day. That could be 100% true, but we'll see if that ends up happening. But, yeah, they're probably just like, oh, boy. You know, not that you wish anything upon anybody ever, but wow, yeah, boy, we need a little bit of
yeah,
a break.
Yeah, they're probably like, we need it.
There were some hostilities coming our direction.
Jeez,
so.
My God.
And we'll see what ends up happening. Eventually, baseball will be played, and eventually basketball will finish, and hockey will finish. Eventually, all that's going to happen. I'm absolutely certain of it, that it will finish. So when all that comes back and when everything gets started up and the economic engine that is the United States of America gets rolling once again and things to start to return to a little bit of normal, hopefully right. with lessons learned from this pandemic, you know, we'll go about the business of making fun of people again, I hope.
Hold on, Yurk. We got to fix your line there a little bit because there's something wrong with it. And I don't think Yurko's hearing it because I think he would have caught it, but there's something definitely wrong. Yurko's at home. We have socially distanced, obviously. We're all split up. Yuadl's at home doing his part. Yurko's at home doing his part. A few producers here at a time. We have cleaned this studio seemingly every 30 minutes trying to do our best while a few of us come down here to make sure it's a safe, sanitary working environment. So make sure you vote on the poll questions. I mentioned the White Sox one. That vote will be up until tomorrow morning. The greatest moment of the 05 White Sox run, was it A.J. getting to first on the drop third strike, or was it Paul Konerko's slam? Threw another one up there today just for fun this morning. Happy April Fool's Day, everybody. What's the greatest trick play in sports history? I put up the Boise State Statue of Liberty to beat Oklahoma, the Music City Miracle, and then Philly Special. I thought Philly Special would be getting more of the vote. Maybe it's just people don't like the Philadelphia Eagles. That could be it, but how many plays do you see like that in a Super Bowl against the Patriots that are so meaningful and impactful? And then I did throw other up there. Not many others, to be honest, which is a good thing. 51% of the audience saying the Boise State Statue of Liberty, and that was great. I think that was the moment, too, then when Ian Johnson got down on one knee and proposed to his girlfriend, who was one of the cheerleaders. Isn't that right, guys? That was the same game, wasn't it? He ran over and he proposed to his girlfriend. The Music City Miracle running second with 25.5% of the vote, 19% for Philly Special, and like I said, just under 5% for other. I saw some others coming, like I got to go back through my timeline and see if a few people were mentioning some of the others, but I think we got most of our bases covered. The famous Nebraska fumble Ruski from, I think it was the Orange Bowl in 1984, a few people suggested that one. Philly Special, only 19% of the vote surprises me, though. I mean, like, that's the most recent out of all of them. A lot of times there's recency bias with these, and I would have thought that it would have much more than just 20% of the vote. Yurk is back. Let's see. How's that line sound now?
You tell me.
Oh, you're the man. You sound beautiful, kid.
Yeah, it never sounded bad in my ears at all.
Yeah, there was something wrong. I figured it out, and we just had to reset the line. That's all.
By the way, that was Dean Steinkuhler in the Fumble Ruski back in the 80s.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I would never have gotten that year.
Great offensive lineman back in the day. Yeah. Dave Remington was the center.
I remember Dave Remington, yeah.
Nebraska used to have the lines of lines back then.
Yeah, they did. You're right about that.
Of course, there may have been a little bit of injections going on back then.
Maybe.
Accusations were always out there, kid.
What's the best trick play, Yurk? Is it the Statue of Liberty, the Boise State play, the Music City Miracle, Philly Special, or other?
Boy, the Music City Miracle to me was a forward thing, so I've disqualified that already.
Yeah?
That was a forward pass. I don't care what anybody says. I know what I see. You know, the word lateral doesn't mean even with the line of scrimmage.
It's got to be behind, right?
They tried to pretend like, oh, that's what it meant. It was even. It wasn't even, all right? And so I disqualify it right away. That was a horrific contest for the Buffalo Bills that ended up losing that game. I will go with, I'm trying to think of any other tricks that I had seen over the course of time. But if I had to take a vote, that Philly Special was something great.
That's where I would vote.
I mean, it was great. And it was recent, so you saw right. it just recently. The Boise State one was something to behold, too, back in the day. Because nobody thought Boise State was going to be able to compete that day, and they did.
Yes, and they won. They not only competed, but they won. I'm with you. Philly Special for me. I just love the whole thing about, like, Nick Foles going to the sideline. And, of course, we learn all this later. But when you see the NFL films footage and you get the audio, And, you know, Doug Peterson has decided, and you got to love the decision just to go for it. I mean, I respect the hell out of coaches that have the chutzpah to do that. And Peterson has shown a willingness to do that. And a lot of these coaches these days have shown a willingness to do it. They understand the importance of getting six down there. I love that he had decided he was going to do it. And then when Nick Foles runs over to the sideline, you know, Doug Peterson's contemplating a play, and Nick Foles comes over and he just says, "What do you think, Philly special?" And Doug Peterson thinks about it for a split second and goes, "Yeah, let's do it." I mean, the way the whole thing came together, it's great. Trey Burton threw the pass. Why he couldn't do it a couple years later for the Bears, I'll never know. But Trey Burton threw that pass. Nick Foles caught it. Nick Foles is a Bear now. By the way, do you want to hear Nick Foles' message to Bears fans?
Sure.
He sent a little video now that it's official. I loved his hat. He had on a really sweet orange 1920 Bears hat. It was very cool. I've never even seen those. This was Nick Foles' message to Bears fans.
"Hey, Bears fans, it's Nick Foles. I just want to send a quick video and just say how honored I am to be a part of your organization and a part of your city. My family and I are looking forward to getting out there and getting to work. Until then, though, there's a lot more pressing matters in the world right now, so our prayers are with everyone. I hope everyone's staying safe. Our love is with you, and bear down."
There he is, bear down. Nick Foles, the trade is official. He is a Bear. We'll take some calls when we come back. 312-332-3776. Trick plays, White Sox moments, and we've got more to discuss about the change in format for the playoffs in the NFL and what it would have meant for the Bears over the years. It's Carmen and Yurko.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Other suggestions on Twitter rolling in for the greatest trick play in sports history. Adam loves the Dan Marino clock play. I said clock, Yurko.
Right, you did, yes.
You remember that, to beat
the Jets.
That's right, yeah. In the comeback in 1994.
What else you got?
Irwin's got a great one. The annexation of Puerto Rico. If you like Little Giants, then you know all about the annexation of Puerto Rico. That's a good call. And there was another one that was going. Oh, from Chris. Guys, how about the Saints onside kick in the Super Bowl? I mean, is an onside kick a trick play, Yurko?
I think to start the second half, that would be a trick play.
Yeah, I think that does qualify.
That's full of deception.
That's an excellent call by Chris, and I wasn't even thinking about that this morning when I made the list.
I've got one for you.
Go ahead.
1981 AFC Championship game, Miami Dolphins against the San Diego Chargers.
1981?
Yes.
AFC Championship game?
It's okay. The number 43. Greatest play in NFL history in the NFL Top 100.
Yeah.
And it's a trick play. It's the hook and ladder.
Okay.
Trick play. The one that Tony Nathan ends up running in for a touchdown. The ball goes from Don Strock to Harris, the wide receiver. Harris with a single bar flips it back to Tony Nathan at about the 28.
Love it.
And he takes it in, and the San Diego defense is stunned.
I love that. A good hook and ladder, those are always fun, aren't they?
That's the game. Oh, yeah. That's the game that Kellen Winslow's exhausted at the end of the game. Remember that one?
Not really. I'm being honest, York. I can't distinctly remember. I certainly wasn't watching it. I mean, I was 5 years old, so I don't recall that.
I got you. But the older gentlemen and the older fellas in the audience, they're going to know that one for sure. Just look it up. Miami Dolphins, hook and ladder. Bam, you're going to get the highlights of that beautiful play.
ESPN Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. 8 food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need for food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Please donate. Your gift will be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. You can donate without leaving your home. The new goal is $1 million. We flew past our goal, which is wonderful. And we thank everybody that has contributed. Now there's a new goal. And Conagra Brands Foundation is now matching every dollar donated up to $100,000. So that is a wonderful thing. Go to feedingillinois.org/unite. That's feedingillinois.org/unite, or text FEEDIL to 91999. Your gift will make sure families in our community have enough to eat during this important time. And if you're going to promote this or talk about it on your social media platforms, please use the hashtag FEEDIL. 312-332-3776. Jason's in Oregon. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Happy March 32nd. I know pretty much every Keanu Reeves character is pretty much a Bill S. Preston Esquire reboot, But he was in A Walk in the Clouds. I want to say it was mid to late 90s. And he takes place in Italy. Father owns a vineyard. Yeah, long story short, but it's a really good movie.
He was actually acting and not just like kicking people's butts all over the screen.
Oh yeah, it's like a romance love story.
All right, Jay, if you say so. I don't know if I could sit through a Keanu Reeves love story. I'm gonna be honest. I'd rather him. I want to watch Keanu Reeves be John Wick. That's just me. I don't think I could take it any other way, Yurko.
Well, I think he's become more palatable the later on in his career. Much more palatable.
Yeah. I like him as the goalie in, the hockey movie with Rob Lowe, Youngblood. Remember, that's like one of his first roles with Patrick Swayze and Rob Lowe. You ever see that one?
I've seen Youngblood, of course.
Yeah, he plays the goalie.
Who's in that one?
That's Eric Nestoranko's in that. He plays the dad. Yeah. One of my favorite Keanu Reeves. He's got like four lines in the movie. Jeff's in Los Angeles. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Thank you for making this so much better. The chocolate mousse yesterday was hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you.
As only Yurko can do it, of course.
Thank you. I got a response from that on my my text page, and I certainly do appreciate that. You know, just you've got to have a visual, really, to understand it. Thank you.
Definitely, and that was a graphic visual. Thank you. So my thought has been, since the Bears acquired Nick, was that he automatically makes the Bears' offensive line better simply because he can make throws downfield, where we all know Mitch can't. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but correct me if I'm wrong. It always seems like the linebackers were up against the linemen, and there was usually a safety near the linebackers because they knew Mitch couldn't throw down the field. So the running game was miserable. So when you have Nick, who can actually make throws down the field, voila, your offensive line is going to be a little bit better just because of that. What do you think?
All right, thanks, Jeff. What do you think, Yurk?
The process works. The thinking works. And he's right. They challenged Mitch Trubisky to beat you last year. And a lot of those times he couldn't find a way to get it done. And they did it, the Green Bay did it at the beginning of the season, 7-3. We're going to go ahead and we're going to put people here. Good luck.
Yeah, right.
Best of luck to you. So it was a more difficult running game. It makes life easier on the offensive line. Okay? Doesn't mean the offensive line is better. Could they be better because of that? More importantly, can the offense then be more productive? I think that's the question that we're all getting into, not whether your offensive line is going to look better or not. Your offense will be more productive because you've got a quarterback that could go downfield and maybe go through a progression of reads, which would be nice.
Yeah, why was so much of what the Bears did at or around the line of scrimmage? Was that because the personnel wasn't good enough, offensive line, the quarterback, or is that just the way Matt Nagy likes to call a game? I don't know if we have an answer for that. If it's the latter, I'm a little bit worried. I can't imagine that Matt Nagy, the so-called offensive genius, and I don't know why we're saying that, but I can't imagine he wants to operate that close to the line of scrimmage all the time.
It'd be great to get Matt Nagy on, and I'd simply ask him, can you properly evaluate your players offensively with the quarterback that you have?
Yeah, the problem is he can't really answer that. Right. He'd need truth serum, you know?
Is the reason we can't evaluate Ridley and we can't evaluate Wims because of the fact that the quarterback wasn't a guy that was going to be able to get the ball to anybody anyway? So we might be harsh on a number of players on the offensive side of the ball because of who the quarterback was.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're the fourth wide receiver, how the hell are you ever going to get the football?
No, please.
That calls for some patience, and that calls for a recognition at the line of scrimmage that I can't go to A-Rob, I can't go to Anthony Miller, so I've got two guys left that I can go to. I can either go to the tight end, or I can go to the back, or I can go to the other two wide receivers, and I've got to know that right now. So it's interesting. The phone call's interesting, and it certainly has a theory in place.
Yurk, when football is back, and we sure hope it's back for 2020, we know that the owners approved yesterday there will be two extra playoff teams, one in each conference, so there's going to be 14 now. That means seven on each side of the bracket, and that means only one team gets a bye. So the top seed is going to become oh so important. It also means that a couple of Bears teams of yesteryear would have snuck in under the new format. Now, it doesn't really matter because it's just new for now. But for bleeps and giggles, if you go back to 2002, Yurko, the Bears would have two extra playoff appearances. As it stands, since 02, that's a long time. Let's face it. This is the 2020 season. You know, you're talking about almost 20 years worth of football. The Bears have only been to the playoffs four times. That's not good. That number would have been six with the new format. The 2011 8-8 Bears own tiebreakers over the 8-8 Eagles and 8-8 Cardinals. They would have went. And then the 10-6 2012 Bears. We talked about them yesterday. That was Lovey's last year. Lovey would have actually made the playoffs then in three straight years. And the Mark Trestman era probably never happens, Yurko. You know, if Lovey sticks around for a couple more years, maybe then eventually it does run its course and, I don't know, John Fox or whatever. But I'll tell you this, three straight years in the playoffs and the Mark Trestman era never happens. And I think we all would have appreciated that because that means the Bears would have been in the playoffs in 2010, which they were, 11 and 12. Oh, and by the way, the last time the Bears went to the playoffs three straight years, you got to go back to their dominant run in the 80s with Kutch. 1984 to 1988, that run of five consecutive seasons was the last time they ever strung anything like that together, Yurk. So
it's a long time ago, Carmen.
It is a long time ago.
Long, long time ago.
And Chris Black tried to play devil's advocate yesterday about this, and I see where he's coming from, and I don't think Waddle's crazy about it either, but I'll take my team having more of a chance. I mean, anything can happen in January. Yeah, quarterback play probably rules the day, and the Bears have never had great quarterback play, but I would have taken my chances with those Bears defenses in 2011 and 2012. In fact, Aaron Schatz, who created DVOA for Football Outsiders, Yurk, that a metric that is widely used and widely accepted to accurately gauge how good a football team is over the course of a 16-game season, he did his top 10 list, Yurk, yesterday of the teams that missed that would have made it. And the 2012 Bears were his fourth team on the list. Their DVOA that year was 20.5%. Their defensive DVOA was one of the best on record. I think going back to when they have data to at some point in the 80s, he writes in this little synopsis of why he had the Bears ranked fourth. They were so far and away better in that metric than anybody else in the league that year, Yurk. It wasn't even funny. And he points out to it was sort of the last great season for those dominant Bears defenses with Lovey. We know Lovey moved on, but he also pointed out that it was really Urlacher's. It might have been Brian's. When was Brian's last year? 13 or 14? I can't remember. But
2013.
Okay, so the next year was. He talked about how it was the last, you know, great season for Urlacher and Briggs and Peanut Tillman. Pepper still had a couple of good years and had a little impact with Green Bay, but Peppers was really good that year. I mean, they were so good defensively, it's a shame that they blew that 7-1 start and they missed the playoffs. Because I would have liked to seen, you know, our chances, I say ours as Bears fans, with that team in the playoffs back in 2012.
And why they end up losing games, your quarterback ended up getting hurt.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a viable replacement, then go ahead and win some games for you. What's Brian Urlacher was critical of something.
Yeah, Brian was critical of, I think, was he critical of the Robert Quinn signing? Do we have the sound of that, Chris?
Let's do the next one.
That's what I was going to say. We'll play that next. And we'll do some trending. We'll do both of those things coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Better lose yourself, Yurko. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope you're enjoying your day. Sun is coming out a little bit. Get outside, get some fresh air, but socially distance. Remember that. We're here for you. Get us out of the house. We are on your smart speaker. Just tell Alexa or Google to play ESPN Chicago. Randy Merkin, let's do some trending, and then I want to play some Brian Urlacher sound from Waddle and Sylvie's show yesterday.
Good afternoon, boys.
All of that here before 1. Good
trending. What's trending brought to you by Trend Micro? That's kind of cool, huh?
There we go, Trend Micro.
The leader in cybersecurity, protecting over 500,000 companies worldwide. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
Great company.
Let's see here. Starting off, I don't know if I was late to the game today. Wimbledon has been canceled for this year. They will not postpone. It's kind of like as I was talking to you, Carm, that if they go too late in the year, that it's going to be tough for them to get all the matches in because they only have two closed courts.
So they just can't.
Because
they
can't of the sunlight. York, you get that, right?
Strawberries and cream, my friend.
Strawberries and cream. Won't be able to enjoy it.
If they do it late in the year, you know, they're at such a northerly latitude that once we shift, and I said shift, and we start getting, you know, once you start getting close to the fall months, York, there, you know, they don't get much daylight during the day, obviously. And I don't know, maybe that's why this is part of the problem. I don't know if they don't have lights on those courts. I don't know, but, you know, they get a tremendous amount of daylight hours in the spring and in the summer. But once we cross over, the days start getting much, much shorter because of their northerly latitude. Maybe that's got something to do with it, well, the weather. I don't know.
They're also on grass courts, and you start wearing and tearing on those grass courts for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of get a little bit of a chance to rejuvenate themselves. With you know, after a match at the center court,
yeah,
they can let the sun shine down upon it. They'll cover it with this little visqueen, which will allow the sun to get in there and it to grow a little bit. Then they can go ahead and cut over it again.
First time since World War II that they won't be able to do it.
But, what are you going to do? Yeah. We are where we're at.
You're right. And, I know you're.
You know, where's London at right now compared to everybody else time wise during this pandemic?
Yep.
You've got to take a wonder if they're a month behind. They might be a month behind us here in the Unidos Estados. So if that is, that takes them into probably June and July for their recovery. And, you know, the NHS, everybody wants to brag about their national health system over there. Well, let's see. I know the U.S. system, what we have here in America is fantastic with tremendous professionals. Okay, we are the leaders in medicine in the world, period, bar none. The best of the best operate here in the United States. Okay, when somebody from Oman has a heart issue, where do they come? The United States to get taken care of. That's right, they do. The Cleveland Clinic, when I was there, they had a prince from Bahrain, I think.
That's a great
come hospital. Over and take the whole thing. He had a heart issue. Yeah. Took over the top floor. Said, I'm taking over the top floor. I'll pay you for every room.
Good.
Take care of me. I don't want to die.
What else?
They come to the United States, Carm. Remember that.
Yes. What else, Merck?
All right. Mark Cuban has backed off his initial prediction that the NBA would return mid-May.
Yeah.
Said, obviously, the safety of fans, their organization, and the whole league is more important than getting back to playing basketball.
And obviously, he's hopeful. He's one of those guys that's hopeful. He wants to get things back on track. He wants to get things started. He's a businessman. And businessmen think the business way.
And then finally, because I know I want to get to the Urlacher sound, Nets player is symptom-free after testing positive for COVID-19.
I saw one. I think Marcus Smart, too, has agreed to donate his blood, right? They were saying this could be helpful. They can study the plasma and see if they can find a way to get a vaccine, right? They want to study the plasma, the people that have been infected. So
you know what a good podcast to listen to? Doris Burke was on with Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah.
And she was positive for COVID-19. And she talked about the same thing. She doesn't know if there is a solution to do so, but she wants to try and donate her plasma, too.
And to follow up with Chris is saying, her symptoms were totally different than others. Like, she just said she was really tired.
Yeah, run down.
She broadcast at the Dallas game that night, the Mark Cuban game.
Right.
And she said in the morning, like, you know, meeting, she was just exhausted, you know, and... But that she didn't have all the other symptoms.
Like no fever, cough,
nothing.
Or sore throat, nothing of that.
Yeah. Crazy. All right, so here was Brian Urlacher yesterday. There's a couple things in here. He gets to the stuff about Robert Quinn, but it starts with Waddle and Sylvie asking about Foles. And the question was, because of the money, will Nick Foles start for the Bears in 2020?
Yes, I think that the issue for me was that he's making so much more money than Mitch is going to. I don't know what Mitch's contract is, but you pay a guy that much money, how do you make him your backup when, you know, and I think Mitch is the guy still. I still feel like he's, you know, maybe it's going to be an open job. I don't know what they're going to do. We'll all wait and see. But, I mean, to pay a guy that much money to come be your backup just doesn't make sense to me. It's a lot of bread to be sitting on the bench.
Right. That's kind of what I said. I said, follow the money. Usually in the NFL, follow the money. That's why I think that they, you know, the Knicks.
But Mitch was a number two pick in the draft. He's got to be making probably 8 to 10 this year, I would say.
I think so,
He's getting towards the back end of his deal, so he's going to make good money as well. So maybe they're in level playing field when it comes to money wise per season. I'm not sure, but yeah, I feel like I'm hoping they're going to bolster up, you know, some on the offensive side of the football a little bit this year. You know, get some players, hopefully a receiver or two to help out Mitch and Robinson. I know they signed a tight end, correct? They paid somebody.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe that'll help a little bit, you know, in that aspect. With that position, we were struggling. So it'll be nice to get somebody in there who can catch the football
and get open. We weren't big fans of that signing, the Jimmy Graham. Like, we would love Jimmy Graham back when you were playing. Yeah, but not Jimmy Graham now.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, he played with Aaron Rodgers. He didn't do his numbers weren't great. I'll say that.
Right.
He played with Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, the Bears may use him differently. You know, he wasn't the main guy there. They had some pretty good weapons there. You know, Devontae, they had a good running back there. Maybe he'll be used differently here. And Coach Nagy can definitely find a way to get him the football. I believe that. You know, if the guy's got some talent, he'll give him the football. We got to protect our quarterback, though, number one. You know, we got to get guys healthy up front and run the football and protect our quarterback, keep him upright.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at as well. Like, I don't care if it's Mitch or it's Nick. Whoever's behind center, they've got to run the football significantly better than
they
did last year.
I agree. You know what? And this is not a knock on the player. I didn't love the signing of Robert Quinn. I liked him. He had a great season last year. Really good football player. I just don't. You know, you pay Khalil all this money. He gets all this money, and you have Akeem Hicks, who's a badass in the middle, making all this money. I understand you get rid of Floyd, but I mean, do you need to spend that much money on another guy up front? I just, you know, I'm just trying to divvy up the money here. I'm trying to balance out the offense with the defense a little bit.
So, and we can discuss more of this coming up after the break, Yurk, but, you know, most of us like that signing. Again, recognizing that you do overpay in free agency, and it is a lot in these next couple of years to get Robert Quinn, but you're hoping at he's 30, 31, I think, in these next 2 years, or 31 and 32, that you still get 2 years where he can be the professional pass rusher that he's been in his career. And I guess you just figure, yeah, we've got a lot already invested with Mack and Hicks, and now Eddie Jackson, who got new paper, but... Hey, yeah. let's load up on what we do best right now and really take our shot.
He wasn't critical, though, of Robert Quinn, the player.
No, not at all. You're right.
He was critical of the money. He also misidentified where Hicks plays. Hicks doesn't play in the middle. Hicks plays over the offensive tackle next to Khalil Mack.
Yeah, right, yes.
Goldman is your nose tackle.
Yes.
So what you needed was balance on the other side. Well, you've got a left side that's dominated defensively. What you were hoping and what you were going to spend on the guy Leonard Floyd at that position, you're taking that money and you're going to spend it on Quinn.
We will continue to discuss when we come back, plus Adam Schefter being a little critical of the NFL. We'll play that sound for you. We're back in just 2 minutes.